Good now? No. Headphones
I
aren't
can't hear a
plugged in or
word you're
something.
saying. My headphones aren't plugged in.
Oh God.
There you are.
Oh man, I do not envy you having the portable setup and moving about and having to reconnect stuff all the time. As a matter of fact, I desperately need to remanage my cables just because of moving what little stuff around I do has messed things up, and I'm just like, nah, man, it's fine. It's not going anywhere. So, whatever. Man, I'm worried about the future, Manny. I really am, 'cause not a whole lot to talk about. So it'll be interesting today on the Daily Cup of Genre. Welcome to it, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Give us a follow on that if you're listening. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you. Hit the subscribe button if it's something you haven't done already. And if you have, thank you very much. I'm Kyle, that's Manny, and the future is going to be interesting. We had a business meeting yesterday. Senior managers, editors, and all of that for LRM Online. And we were just discussing how information's going to eventually, for the most part, dry up, and covering this stuff is going to be different. It made me think about the 2007 2008 strike, and even though it was relatively short, the internet, while big and huge, wasn't what it is today, and the entertainment reporting or blogging slash, you know, trades, whatever part of it you want to talk about, it wasn't quite what it is today, where you have as many niche markets, people that really love LRM, or they really love something like comingsoon.net. maybe they're trades only, and it's Variety and Hollywood Reporter or nothing, but there are so many things. And if you don't cover, you know, behind the scenes drama, if you don't cover reality TV, I can see where a lot of people are going to be hurting this time around, man, especially if it goes on longer than the last one. How are you? You're out there in California, man. How are others feeling, including you, about that aspect of it, the effect on entertainment report, like tangent, you know what I'm trying to say? How it affects like everything else in entertainment, including journalism.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, like some of these writers are my friends, so. You know, I support the fact that all the work they put into, I've seen it, I've heard about it. I'm 100% with them in the fact that they need to, you know, protect their interests, their jobs, their livelihood, because so many things, like you said, are changing. I speak with other people that are their heads or other their websites, that are senior editors, that are that run sites also for entertainment, and you know, it's the same across the board. You know, everyone's kind of struggling to find, you know, writers, to find people that are passionate the same way that a lot of, you know, really people who have done it for a while are, because this is not a lucrative deal. Nobody's doing this as their livelihood, unless you're working unless you're working for, you know, the big dogs, and that even then, a lot of people in entertainment have a second job, have a different one.
They freelance. They might be on one outlet real well, but they'll freelance for others. They'll take side gigs and do guest spots, editorials, and whatnot. Yeah. I miss writing. The only reason I don't do it more is the toll it takes on me. Would mean less video work, and we've got we've got a big need for video work. So that's been my focus mm-hmm. for a while. So
yeah, and then the other thing is there's this really big misconception that you can go to a site just regardless of the numbers and that it's going to pay very, very well.
Yeah.
it's cute to that people think that way. And I'm telling you this because I have one of my buddies from one of their sites who says people are coming from sites that are relatively small and asking for an insane amount of money to write. Mm-hmm. When most sites, you're lucky if you're getting a probation period where you get to really, you know, strut and show your stuff. I mean, hell, that's what I did for the longest time. But mm-hmm. it's about getting. But it nobody wants to put in that work. But I also understand that for some people you do need to make money. You need to survive. And I get that. But what you're saying is things are always going to change because there was a time and a place when the only place to write for an entertainment company was through a magazine, through a Wizards, a Game Informer, whatever they are in the past.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
And the internet came along.
Empire, Entertainment Weekly.
And it opened it up for everyone. But the problem is now, especially with the addition of later of social media, mm-hmm. you can post anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. While I applauded James Gunn for shutting rumors down, he also realized that by acknowledging the trolls and the clickbaiters, he's also kind of giving them a platform mm-hmm. Where you can check boxes of what isn't real. Mm-hmm. And so him saying, you know, he's not gonna worry about them anymore, really, really shows that you know it just bothers me that you can there's a couple of sites that do it that'll take fan art. And then in their title, they will put,
John Krasinski looks stunning in Fantastic Four art. Yeah.
Or they won't even put the fan thing on it. They'll put that in the article, not on the
front page and picture. And then everyone's like, oh, Krasinski's that must mean he's. Yeah, but then again, look, I'm a huge believer in individual responsibility up to a certain point for the most part. We have become so lazy, myself included from time to time, although I actively try to make sure I don't do this, of going by thumbnail and headline only. No one clicks on the links to verify what's going on anymore. And if you take the thumbnail and image as a gospel truth, that is on you. That's on you for not clicking the link and seeing. Now, I hate clickbait. I do. And I mean like overt clickbait like that, not putting a little exaggeration in your say reaction thumbnail, you know, that I get. But the Krasinski looks stunning as new Reed Richards, that type of crap pisses me off, but it's still up to the end user, you, to click on the link or to know enough about the internet to know that it's likely bullshit. The problem is just too many people are so used to that retweet or share button, mm-hmm. and that's as far as it goes, and that creates a whole other issue. I do think it is interesting, like you said, about gun and rumors, because that is one thing that is going to really, really hurt here if the writer's strike goes on longer, is that leak stuff. One, I think you'll see a big push of leaks that people were sitting on and holding out on, but as those dry up, what else is there for that particular group of entertainment? I don't want to say reporters or journalism, but that part of the entertainment reporting sphere, the leakers, the scoopers, if and when that dries up, like, what, where do they go? What do they do? Like, that's the problem with like drama tubers and stuff, man, is sometimes it all dries up. Then what? You're left going back to the well, and it's I don't know, man. It's weird. Like I said, think about this, Manny. You and I, we existed before the internet was a daily thing in people's lives, right?
We lived in the 1900s.
we came up and we saw it go from paying by the minute for AOL to, you know, the first cable broadband modems and satellite and DSL and all of that, all the way up to today, fiber optic internet, your cell phone, the whole nine. As much as the internet is in our lives today, there's a lot of things you and I experienced where the internet wasn't that big of a deal. Not yet. And so some of these things are really, these things that we're going through that are kind of cyclic in human nature, mm-hmm. it's different now because we can all point a camera at it and share it. And it's all in our faces a hell of a lot more than the 7 p.m. news, you know?
Yep. Oh, it's you're right. I remember, I think my parents have it somewhere, but I remember getting like Empire magazine that had a CD on it with trailers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
That's way back in the day. Cause I know that somewhere I still have the copy of the removed Spider-Man trailer where he catches a helicopter in between the Twin Towers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, the only way you got to really see trailers was either on TV during television shows, or you went to the movies. Yeah, and that's how you learned about movies.
People went to the theater to see the Phantom Menace trailer, and then would walk out of the movie after seeing the trailer.
That would be a
not that, that it was thing. Bad. They just went to just see the Phantom Menace trailer. That was the whole point of the trip, you know.
Yeah,
crazy.
And so when it comes to those people who write those kinds of stories, and leak that kind of information, I'm not a fan of leaking information.
We've had a few. We called some stuff.
No, I'm not saying that we don't do it. I'm saying I'm personally not that big of a fan of it. I understand it, but the kind of, it's just that not the kind of writer I am.
It kind of depends on what it is for me. For example, we've done a really good job of trying to avoid anything that is major story spoilers. We might report on it, but we don't necessarily leak that type of stuff. We've been more of like a casting and character type scoops that we've gotten, which, yeah, some people might have been upset that they heard Cad Bane was going to be in Book of Boba Fett instead of seeing it revealed in the show. But that's not the same as, you know, the people that put the entire plot of Quantumania on the internet months before its release, and it was spot on.
Yeah, so I think for me it is that it it ruins that experience of of enjoying something. And so that's, I think that's where I, that's where I come from with it, just because there's just, well, with the internet, with all, with so many sites, there's this desperation of wanting to be relevant, and and the only way to be relevant is to post something that somebody leaked on Reddit, or you actually know somebody. And it's kind of, and like, it kind of ruined things for everyone.
It can,
and it undermines a larger group of journalists who work very hard to make relationships with studios, with publicists, with the people putting this together, who are privileged to information and kind of follow the rules of embargoes and things of that sort, because they serve a purpose. In the end, they serve a purpose of, for allowing the general audience to experience something, whether it's a reveal, the plot, the pacing, a moment, and it's up to them to decide how much really they want to the reveal ahead of time. A perfect bad example, when for whatever reason, Batman v Superman decided that they didn't have enough with the fact that they had a Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman movie. They also had a reveal Doomsday. Why not just make it a surprise? That would have been a cool surprise. But it was up to them. That was their choice. And because sometimes things get leaked, sometimes it's even end credit scenes and things like that that is just frustrating, because you want to be surprised, you want to enjoy it. I'm not that giant of a fan of Fast X, but it was still a cool end credit scene that I didn't know about. I think that's where it comes from. But yeah, no, it's like, you know, revealing knowing who Thrawn is does not change anything.
Yeah, knowing Lars Mikkelsen was gonna play him doesn't change things. Yeah, like I said, it all kind of depends. I don't like story spoilers. I don't like the reveal of a character that's gonna be like super pivotal. Cameos and stuff, I really don't care, especially if that's all it is a cameo. Like learning about the Doc Strange stuff, I was like, okay, these are all just cameos, so I really didn't care so much, like whatever. But I also know a lot of people do care, and it sucks to what sucks again, that whole end user thing, right? Here's where it kind of bleeds into I don't know quite how to phrase it, but I don't like it when people post spoilers without some sort of cover or spoiler warning. When you post a image from a movie or an event or something like that on your front Twitter page or Facebook page or whatever it is, and you don't make any attempt, like that type of overt spoiling is what I hate. The internet's changed a lot of things, man. You used to have to really dig deep for spoilers. You had to go to the forums or to chat rooms and search through them. You know, it wasn't so easy to be spoiled. But nowadays that's what upsets me more than now.
You have to put mute buttons and filters so you don't get spoiled.
You know, the internet changed everything, man. The internet changed conventions. Nice little segue here. Yeah. Internet has changed conventions, especially during the pandemic. We saw things like Fandom and Disney Plus Day became a big thing in 2019. Of course, when they did that, but they did it again in 20 and 21. The convention season is coming up. Some conventions already happening in July. You've got Anime Expo San Diego. Is San Diego July this year, or is it August?
No, it's in July.
It's in July. And then, of course, there's going to be LA Comic Con, New York Comic Con later in October. Point being is it's convention season, and Sideshow Collectibles is dipping out of San Diego in favor of a Sideshow Con, convention of sorts, where you can go and look at all their stuff, kind of how you can do on their freaking store page now. But they basically said, hey, you know, you can it's getting expensive to do this stuff, and here we can show you guys things the way we want to. You can look at them all you want. You don't have to worry about the crowds. And in my mind, I'm like, mother futters, I want to look at it in the crowds. I want to see it in person. I don't care about, they talk about how they can control lighting and make things. I don't want to see how it looks in your perfect situation. I want to see how it looks in my imperfect lighting, you know, that's going to be in my room. I don't know, man. I don't like the way this is going, dude.
No, actually, one of my favorite things to do at a convention, especially when I'm kind of done with all of my responsibilities, so usually like on a Sunday, is to go through the Sideshow booths, and because it's a large space, and really just soak in the statues. And I just don't have room for any right now, really. But you know, one day I'm gonna need that piece, and it'll never do it justice virtually, never,
no, ever.
But to see that dark side, for example, or that Thanos, that to that kind of mine, or that Joker statue, it's in person, and seeing how tall it is, seeing the details of the painting and the sculpture itself, there's nothing like it. And to say that, you know, you're virtually, you're going to get the same thing, I think it's doing a disservice. But what do I know? Warner Brothers skips out now on doing Comic-Con, and so does Marvel, so does a lot of people. And
we'll see how they are with San Diego this year.
Well, you know, they're both big companies are still cutting stuff left and right, so I don't know. Maybe because Max is new, they're going to they're gonna showcase it maybe a little bit. But if WonderCon was any preview of what's to come, it's gonna be bad.
Keep going. Sorry.
Because I mean, WonderCon's, it used to be that their flagship piece was whatever that DC movie was going to be for the you know, whether it was Shazam, Wonder Woman, that was their centerpiece. That was their kind of their theme for the event. This past year it was I can't even remember the name of the movie, Knights of Zen or something like that.
Knights of the Zodiac.
Thank you.
It's a Saint Seiya live action adaptation.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever. Like, who's coming to Comic-Con? Especially with the fact that now,
or that
with no writers, and really just a lot of things being a mess, who's really coming to Comic-Con? Because why would you? And I mean, honestly, the peak of Comic-Con was, I believe, 2018. 2019, I won't give it that, because Warner Brothers already had Mega Booth, and they had already completely dismantled their DC Comics booth. And then they just had the big Warner Brothers booth. I don't know.
I think based on what I've seen, because the last San Diego I did was 2009. I did 8 and 9. Brian did 8, 9, and 10. Or 8, 9, and 11. Something like that. There's like three or four of them real close together. And it really does feel like 8 and 9 were kind of like the peak years for it. It was before It was when you still had the Marvel comics and the movies were, you know, being like, we saw the Iron Man 2 trailer there. DC still had their huge booth. Warner Brothers had their own booth down the way. It was like the first year Twilight was a thing at San Diego Comic-Con. So it was like before it all started going downhill, where all the hipsters and yuppies, or whatever derogatory term for young people you want to use, started invading it with stupid stuff. I don't know, man. I know that the, not just the pandemic, because these were things going on before the pandemic. You look at PlayStation State of Play, Nintendo Direct, things like that. All of the gaming studios, the game console companies, they killed E3.
Yeah,
you know, with this digital stuff. And don't get me wrong, guys, I understand. Look, the business guy completely understands. Why share the limelight? Why pay the money? Why? Because you got to think, just like Sideshow said, everything's more expensive. So it's more expensive to get lodging for your team that's going to be on site. It's more expensive to hire the help to move the stuff from warehouse or storage to the facility to put up your booth. People to run your booth, people to take it all down, pack it back. Like, I get it. It's expensive. And doing it digitally, again, saves you a shit ton of money and you don't have to share the limelight. But man, are they not just driving people further and further into isolation and less direct interaction with people and less outdoor time. Even though you're going to be indoors at a convention, you're out of your own house. Like, that's the key thing is being out of your house and interacting with people. And again, this is me looking at super super big picture, but I see so many bad things wrapped into this. You know, this digital trend, and not just on the personal, I'd rather see it and be there and whatnot, but bigger sociological, societal issues stemming from this. And it's multi-layered, man, because like I said, I get it. It's expensive. But then when you think about it, man, you think about all the jobs that are lost, all of the local jobs that are lost when a convention doesn't happen. All of the tourists that bring money into an area. You see, guys, it's all so freaking connected. You don't even get it. The writer's strike, the slowdown on productions and stuff, that's not just affecting Hollywood. There are filming locations all over the world, all over the U.S. and Canada, especially, that depend on these television seasons to come through and film every year. Now they're going to be delayed, might be shortened, might not even happen. And that can make a huge dent in local economies. Not everything's filmed in Atlanta. Like, oh, it is. Yeah. It's crazy how we're talking entertainment, Manny. And we're all reliant on it in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, industries have jobs, they have things to do. If it wasn't such a moneymaker, they wouldn't do it. And in order to make money, you got to spend money, and you got to spend money. There's different resources that you need. You need caterers, you need lighting crews, you need effects crews, you need people planning things, you need publicists. It's not just lights, camera, action. There's a whole, hell, you need HR. And all kinds of things.
Especially today. you really need some HR.
Yeah, so, you know, but what if there's something we got to do is it's always adapt. We got to change with the times, because if you decide to, you want to be, you want to stand your ground and continue to try to pound that the old ways is the only ways that it is, you're going to get left behind. So it's always important to recognize that things change, times change, ways of doing things change, and we all have the ability to also make changes and to keep up, because that's the only way we're going to do it. If you were just doing scoops for a while, you're going to have to think about probably finding niche in some editorial way that something that you enjoy, some original content as far as something you enjoy. Go, maybe you want to go look at, I don't know, a TV series, or maybe you want to start writing your own thing. You want to go back and see what the worst commercials, you know, throughout the year. I don't know, just there's ideas out there. It's just the effort that you want to put into it. That's how you really survive. I mean, I didn't start interviewing celebrities. I started by writing about the comics that I liked and the TV shows that I was enjoying watching at that moment. And then I just evolved as the opportunities came around. And if I just stuck to what I liked, and I think this is something that some people have trouble with. If you just stick to what you like and comfortable with, that's fine. But you're never gonna grow because
you'll be stagnant.
Exactly. There's a couple of people on influencers that I follow, and they started off really kind of with just superheroes and kind of being fans, and man, have they expanded. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see that, and it's great to see them grow, because you can see the effort, you can see the fact that they're not happy with just covering Spider-Man, Batman. They've expanded to different kinds of films, different kinds of TV shows, in order to build those relationships. If you're just a fan of one thing and that's all you want to cover, that's fine, but your opportunities are limited. Expand your horizons, think outside the box, and get out there and make a name for yourself.
And my first 3 articles for LRM Online. It's been almost 5 years. August 13th was my first article, and I wrote about Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pine walking away from Star Trek 4 talks. I then also published an article about the Nintendo Switch Online service. And then the next day, Netflix and Mark Millar's announcement of Miller World, or however you want to pronounce it. That was it. Those were my first 3 almost 5 years ago, and they're on wildly different things. Man, it's whoops. It is. I'm glad that looks all weird. Accidentally, nothing special. It was just the back end, and people would have seen all of my old articles, but it was like super zoomed in, so it looked weird. Expanding horizons, trying something new. I tried writing just because, like, I liked LRM Online. Like, I liked the website. I liked some of the writers. And I saw the call for writing, and hey, by the way, guys, if you want to write for LRM Online, drop us a line. You can DM us via Twitter. You see those on screen in the description box below, or email michael@lrmonline.com, or kylem@lrmonline.com, or emmanuel@lrmonline.com, and we'll talk to you guys
Here's what I'll say about it. And it's kind of why I am a testament, and why I can speak on it to say that it is what you make it.
Mm-hmm.
I was blogging on Tumblr way back when, and that's actually where Michael kind of introduced himself and gave me the opportunity for a bigger platform with Tumblr. LRM. Yeah, way back. I was talking about The Flash. I was talking about comic books. I was honestly doing it for myself. To this day, I still do. But
yeah, this isn't paying us much, guys, at all. Like, I get paid in likes and good feels.
You would
and hate clicks.
I'm not trying to put anyone's business out there, but Ging and Nancy, who do an amazing job for us, they have jobs. They work really hard outside of the entertainment business.
Manny's got a real job. Yeah. He works really hard.
So when I started writing, I was always looking for what's next and to learn and to grow. And eventually it just led to more opportunities and then continuing to grow on them, to being patient and just continuing to do what you love. Whether it was working with Jammer and writing articles for the site, whether it was comic book reviews, whether it was the Comic Source podcast every week, and then finally interviews. I mean, Zoom interviews every day. I mean, 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9 a week, junkets, and sitting there for hours and you know, just grinding along. And during the pandemic, we had to obviously pivot, and it was virtual. Everything was virtual. No conventions. Because Jason and I, even before LRM, we worked the conventions all across the West Coast, and it was fun. We enjoyed it. One of my favorite stories with Jace is when Rebirth launched. We didn't have an in yet with a strong relationship with DC Comics. But at that WonderCon, they announced the entire lineup of what was to come for Rebirth, and Jace stood at the DC booth, and all day just waited for people to drop so that he can get in, and get an interview and fill in.
Yeah,
and then now it's to the point these days where he's like, well, we'll figure out a time to get you in. He does. He gets everybody in, but. People are asking him to be on the show, not the other way around, and that's always great to see. And for me, just I was always terrible at English, and honestly, to this day, I don't know why I'm a writer, but I am. and it opened doors, and now I run my own newscast every day for one of our local stations. So all this to kind of advertise and do a testimonial for LRM online that if you want, it can take you places.
It can.
It's all up to you and how much effort you want to put into it. And I'm sorry to say this, but it ain't always about the money.
No,
it's about the opportunity.
Opportunities. That's that old adage that my parents tried to put into my brain of doing the hard work that you don't want to do so you can get to the work you do want to do. Like being willing to, when you're hard up for money, sure, taking this job isn't necessarily what you were hoping for, but it's paying now and it gives you experience and it doesn't leave a hole of time on your resume where people are like, well, what were you doing for 4 months? You know, especially in a time when, and this is some life advice, ladies and gentlemen, in an age where help wanted signs are everywhere, employers don't want to see a blank space.
Yeah.
In your history, in your work history right now, because their opinion is going to be, well, if they needed a job, why weren't they? You know, and that's if you have a legit, you were sick, ill, hurt, whatever, got it. But they're going to wonder why you weren't working when so many places are looking for work. So, guys, put in the effort. And again, that's not to anyone that is disabled, sick, extenuating circumstances, taking care of elderly or other disabled people or whatnot. But yeah, just some life advice.
Just do what you can. I mean, there was a point in my life, not so long ago when I was giving my daughter food to eat and I really didn't have anything.
Yeah.
I didn't have a car. I had a place to live and everything. I paid my internet and things like that in order to continue writing and such. But you know, I did what I had. And eventually it paid off. If you, there's a ton of stories like that. I mean, with successful people where it's like, yeah, I was living out of my car. I was still doing this and that, but you're gonna eventually be able to pick the fruit from all that labor you did.
Oh yeah. And it'll come around.
And it all begins with being a writer for with LRM Online.
Seriously, guys, if you are interested, do contact us, DM via Twitter, emails, anything like that. I guess we can stop bullshitting. I think we filled some time quotas. No, it was a really good conversation. Like, it's all important stuff. I actually really enjoy conversations like today. They remind me of like the longer form podcast that you get where it's not always about news, you know? Like I said, it's crazy how connected everything really is to the entertainment industry and how reliant everyone is, not just to be entertained, but your very livelihood can be connected to the entertainment industry, whether you're in a community where they film or you're a blogger or even a trade editor. So yeah, lrmonline.com. You guys know the website. If you are interested in writing, we told you how to get in touch with us. Just say interested in writing for LRM Online on the subject line. The Genreverse YouTube channel, anime reactions and reviews, Star Wars, Marvel, DC, anything and everything you can imagine. Look for Breaking Geek Radio's The Little Mermaid review this week, Friday, and of course available on all your favorite podcast apps like Spotify, which I had forgotten to load up, Apple, Amazon, and more. Anything else for the good people, Benny?
No, just check out my Little Mermaid review. It's on our website right now. I'll have more on the movie as the week progresses. That's out on Friday. And then, yeah, that's about it.
All right, guys, we'll see you on the next one. Bye.
We're making a commercial today. Yeah, my God. You gotta tell Shocky you're welcome.
3-2-1 Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.